And this is all a smoke show. So they make the thing look like there's a race to the vaccine. And then, magically, one is produced long before anybody else even has a chance to produce it. Right? And then you're thinking, how the hell did that happen? All these guys are just that good. And and then you're going to look at who's behind the vaccine. And you're going to scratch your head saying, wait a minute. How the fuck did these guys get the vaccine so fast? What happened? Yeah,
the Gates Foundation. Let's look at them.
Yeah. That's where this is going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If this guy doesn't end up, if this guy does not end up in shackles and handcuffs, that's it. This country is gone. Gone.
Right.
When it comes out. And I know this sounds funny. The guys that I'm working with, I was the feds and the other guys I was working with on the Clinton Foundation. One of the reasons I kept my mouth shut for 2 or 3 weeks, they reached out to me and they said, look, you were doing kicking ass on the Clinton Foundation, but nobody, let's give you, and some of these guys still call me like a kid. They think I'm like a kid, right? Because they've been in the game a long time. I don't feel like a fucking kid, I'll tell you that. But they say, look, youngster, you've been doing good work on this stuff, but don't do any more stories. Consider not doing any more stories because this national problem is the story now. Nobody gives a shit about the Clinton Foundation. They're like, they're like small potatoes. The Clintons are grifters, okay? Now, did they steal a lot of money from the country? Yes, from a lot of countries. Did they rip a lot of people off? Yes. And it's still an interesting story. But this is like the Clintons times 100. That's what I was told a couple of weeks ago. So just sit back and let things develop and don't pigeonhole yourself into any ideologies until this develops further. So I was told to like just chill out and let's see what happens.
I think that's good advice because we do have to focus on this right now because that's all that Americans are interested in right now.
I see stuff, so, Maria. I saw just before we talked, I was online. I saw Judicial Watch. Do people know they have like $150 million in the bank? Do people know this? Right?
No.
He's talking about Mayor Pete today. Mayor Pete did something wrong and we're on it. I'm like,
oh, who cares?
And Hillary's emails, I'm like, you have $150 million in the bank.
Right.
Can't you put that towards some of this, some research towards this? No one will touch this thing, believe me. Then I can't buy a fucking bowl of soup down here for 4 years, right? This guy's got $150 million in the bank on every TV show you can imagine, gets retweeted upside the yin-yang, and he's playing grab ass for $150 million, right? This is why.
That $150 million, any jail term resulted in that work?
No. Lawsuits, it's document lawsuits, right?
It's all blah, blah, blah. It's all.
I say to these guys, Maria, to come to me, why don't you go to Judicial Watch? They got a platform. Go to somebody like that. Go to Hannity. What are you telling me for? I'm like a little guy. You know what they say to me? You're the only fucking guy who'll do anything with it.
Right.
They can't do anything with it, and they won't do anything with it. It would, like, destroy their whatever scheme they have set up. I don't know what they're doing. They're making money. Well, I don't know how the fuck you make $150 million. I don't see that. I mean, it's insane. I know our margins. Yeah, no. Jesus, God almighty.
Well, $150 million, when I know that entities have that kind of money, it's not self-money. There is somebody behind the scenes. So
donate a lot of money to them. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, what are you doing with the money? Like, what's the money? I don't get the money. Like, the country's going, and I'm picking on them because what I see from them is absolutely absurd. Nobody cares about Mayor motherfucking Pete, and nobody cares about Hillary's emails.
No.
I mean, you're going to get investigated by Pete. You've been beating that dead horse for so long. Pete is going to swing in and come after you. I mean, just, it's over. Like, There are,
the money buys the influence, the same way on cable news channels, why, you know, the Hannity's of the world or the CNN's of the world, is the money is buying the influence of the narrative that the donors want conveyed.
It's insane. It's insane.
So, you know, to be independent is truly a badge of honor.
Well,
you know?
So, yeah, but it's also like, you know, you tell people stuff, like, and I know we keep coming back to this, but this is like people are getting a good internal look here at my soul and with the things we have to battle with here daily. Like, it's a tug of war. What do you release? You put yourself on the line for what? Right. Nobody fucking cares. When you got these other folks making $150 million, they got in the bank, for fuck's sake. And you got truth tellers out here pitching nickels, like in the bathroom in grade school, used to pitch nickels and quarters, right? That's what I feel like. And then if we come up with something good, these guys that are worth billions and millions, they'll just take it and run with it and say, fuck him, man. He's just like what's he going to do about it? So,
yeah, and nine out of 10 times they take your stories anyway and repackage them as their own.
Well, they won't take this one because it's actually too hot. They'll be like, Jesus, this is crazy. We have to wait. You know, we're going to have to wait 5 years on this one. But you know, it's, so my feeling on it from riding the fence is now I'm off the fence and I'm saying that these guys are worse than you could have ever imagined. And if Trump knows about this and he's going along with it, history is not going to treat him well. Now, I don't think he's going along with it. I don't think he knows about it. I think they just keep bullshitting him, this Fauci and this maniac from the CDC who we're going to excoriate before this interview airs on. I mean, this guy's bad news. This guy has a history of falsifying documents and vaccines and research.
Yes.
He is
a
puppet.
Do yourself a favor. What? Now that you have all the information that you have, go back and watch Trump's Oval Office address a few weeks ago.
Which one?
The one he made from his desk.
Okay.
When you watch him, now that you know what you know, I want you to go back and watch that, because he was unhinged. He looked like he was going to cry. It was painful for him.
Then he was briefed on it. He had to be briefed on it.
Now, that's what I'm saying. When we're done.
So I'm freaked the fuck out. I'm telling you. And it takes a lot to freak me out. I'm not just saying that. Look, I have to tell you. No one's, just so people know, and we're going to come back. Just hold your point. There's no money in this. There's no money in podcasting right now. No one's advertising anywhere. NBC TV says no one's advertising. And they're a major network, right?
Right.
I've had conversations with people who want to buy spots on this podcast. And they're saying, just got to wait and see what happens. We can't. No one's able to shop. Why would we advertise anywhere, right?
Right.
So this podcast
today,
this podcast today, I don't make any money from it. There's no financial incentive where I'm trying to get ratings and make money. This isn't about money, right? This is not about money. I'm doing it because I want to do it, right? So, so we'll go back to your original point you were talking about. And I just want to say that because this isn't something like, there's no ulterior motives. This isn't about money. This isn't about anything else but trying to tell people what the fuck's going on out here.
Well, Mike, and it's one of the reasons I was drawn to you and we became friends and we talk all the time off air, because for 4 years, I've been doing radio and I do other YouTube shows and I talk to folks like you, and there's a lot of people I help behind the scenes produce things. I do it for $0.
Right. Yeah, you do. I give you credit for that.
I fight for Donald Trump for $0 because I'm fighting for this country. I'm fighting for my family. You know, I want to do good. And not that I haven't been offered, and I've been offered by other people, you know, do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? I really don't, because I want to be able to say what I want to say when I want to say it and how I want to say it. So Long Island Radio has given me that opportunity. I have never in 4 years have been told to tone it down, clean it up, don't say it that way. I went on LI March of 16. And you have to remember, I was like, you remember the scene with Ann Coulter with Bill Maher when she said Donald Trump and the whole panel laughed at her?
Yeah, when he was going to win the election, yeah.
Right. Well, I was like the Ann Coulter of Long Island because nobody thought Donald Trump was going to win.
Right.
So my role then, when I was introduced, and Tom now introduces me as a senior commentator, contributor. Back then, my role was Trump supporter. That was my role through the election, through the inauguration, and then my role evolved. Now, prior to the election, I was on a few times a week. I was on before debates, after debates. All of my work, all of my research, my opinions, my passion for why Donald Trump had to win. $0, and I'm proud of that. I don't do this for the money. I do this because I am an opinionated person with a big mouth. I am not a kid. I've been around. So when I analyze things, I want to get it out there. And anybody that allows me to get it out there, I'm very grateful to. So when you say you do these things for no money, yes, not that you wouldn't like to, but the fact that you keep going based on the fact that you don't have these big donors or the advertisers, you're still doing it because there's more to it than money. Especially when you get to be our age and you have children or grandchildren or whatever. There are different reasons we do what we do.
Yeah. I apologize to everybody if I sound a little fucked up, but.
No, I mean, I want you to talk to the attorneys and I want you to weigh it and that's it. Listen, I'm a little selfish. I live in pigeon territory, so I'll just like send you a little carrier pigeon. You can write it down, send it back to me. You know.
Now listen, what you said about Trump. It's funny you said that because he must know. He must know what the fuck happened, and it's because he looked like he was freaked out.
Now rewatch it and watch his words and watch his breathing, watch his gasping. That was a powerful speech he gave from that death.
And I said afterwards, I said, "This isn't 2016 Trump. This isn't the same guy. What's the matter with this
you
guy?
You did say that.
What's the matter with
you
this guy? I said
that.
On Twitter. I said, what's the matter with this guy? He's like a zombie. What's the matter with him?
Yeah, I remember you did say that because you were nice about it. And I said, oh my God, it looks like somebody's got a shock collar hooked up to his hoo-ha. And that's how he looked to me.
It's understandable. Now I get it. And I also get why people are like, he hasn't been able to answer why have you shut the country down. There's no good answer because guess what? There's no good answer. If everything I'm hearing is right, there's no that says like, oh, that makes sense. You know, if the answer is, well, I got information that this is completely out of control and we can't control it unless we tell everybody to stay at home because there's no fucking antidote.
Okay. I'm going to interview you now on your podcast. So without telling the audience what it is, in your opinion, are we reopening at the end of the month or is this going to continue?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't think that, the president is getting enough true information to make good calls on it one way or another. So, and you know what? That point, although it would be maybe a relief to have an answer to that to the people out here in their homes and stuff like that, the damage is done. I mean, we've done so much damage at the end of
so
the month.
Damage.
It's like,
yeah,
is it even going to matter at the end of April if we can come out in May? It's going to take decades to rebuild. Decades. If they let us rebuild. If they let people rebuild. Now, I mean, this could be so stacked that I've talked to so many people this week about their money, applying for the loans and the banks. I have an unemployment. So that's state, federal level, and private sector, right? You get state, you got your stimulus money, and you got your SBA loans and other loans. I've talked to 25 different people, probably friends, and also people I put the word out on my Patreon. Yo, let me know what's going on with these loans. If you apply for loans, not one person has gotten any money.
No.
Not one person has gotten a commitment of money one way or another. Like, look, there's a lot of applications. You got to wait. So that's stressful. And some of these people own big businesses, big companies, and they're asking for a substantial amount of loans. And they're like, I don't know what's going on. Nobody's telling me anything, right?
No, and I'm seeing even on Twitter, I'm seeing some of the high place muckety mucks even having problems, and you know, banking with their institutions for decades. They're even having problems.
Maria, so, what did I say 3 weeks ago? What the fuck did I say? No one believed.
You did say what? Wait, not episode 15. I think episode 15, everybody has to go back and listen to. 14 was a good episode because you were telling people how to deal with their institutions. 15, I think you really go into the meat and potatoes of how banking, how the money flow works with the bank.
And that was before they even finalized any stimulus. There wasn't any stimulus that was finalized. And I said, it's all bullshit anyhow. You're not going to get any money. It's not happening. If I'm at Citigroup.
Right.
And I had somebody at Citigroup. See, I don't mind going long on the interview because I was going to talk about all this anyhow. So, you know, and you're helping me remember a lot of this stuff. I had a guy from Citigroup call me, I don't know, between last podcast and this podcast. I don't know. All the days run together when you're on house arrest.
So, mm-hmm.
And say,
hey, I have no idea what day of the week it is.
Right. What would you do in this situation, because we're meeting on this stuff, and I'm just interested in your opinion because your opinion was valued when you were here. What would you do? Would you loan to these banks? Would you loan to these small businesses? Because the guys at Citi say we're getting a tremendous amount of money from the federal government to make these loans. And it's not like, oh, Citi will write $10 billion in loans and then ask the government for the money. The money's coming to Citi no matter what. Would you write these loans to these small businesses? What are we're asking Mike Moore as a bank executive and as a risk, from a risk standpoint and an intelligence standpoint, would you write the loans? And I said, flat out, you're in dangerous territory from a street sense, from my street sense, because here's what I would do. Now, I'm not the most people, okay, but if I'm sitting at home and you trashed my business, trashed it, ruined my business, right?
Mm-hmm.
The government with the shutdown. And now you're saying we're going to loan you money. We're going to loan you, quote unquote, aid, okay? And I'm already starting. You've dug me a hole. Now I have to dig out of it. And your aid, quote unquote, aid is going to try to help me dig out of it.
Mm-hmm.
If I take the money and I can't dig out of it, the bank's holding the bag. Now, although it's federally insured and stuff, that's all pie in the sky bullshit. The bank holds the bag, okay? The bank is assuming the risk, number one.
Right.
Now, there are other guys out there that I've talked to, it's not me, saying, I'm going to take the money and the federal government and the bank can kiss my ass. If there's no personal guarantee on that money and it's just corporate money, in other words, they're loaning my corporation the money and I don't have to personally sign a personal guarantee on it.
Right.
Fuck you. You owe me this. You ruined my business and you'll never see a dime. Okay. So the guy from Citi says, that's exactly where our heads are at. We just wanted to, I just wanted your opinion on it because he's listening to the podcast and he's saying, you know, what do you think? Banks aren't going to make the loans, other banks. And I'm saying, come on, this is like banking 101. Because again, they're over leveraged with big clients that they had to write these obnoxious credit. They had to make good on these obnoxious credit lines, millions and billions of dollars. They don't have money. They're going to take that money from the feds and they're going to balance their balance sheets. They're going to balance their offsets. And they're like, thank you. Because now you've minimized our risk with these large institutions and institutional borrowers and clients. We don't care about Main Street businesses. We don't make any money from their accounts. Get out of here. Beat it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's insane.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. And I knew it was coming this way.
Yes, and already this week we are seeing it. We're seeing people report back how much trouble they're having hurdling with what they need to get. And
they're not going to get they're not going
to
get it.
I shudder to think what is going to happen once they attempt to regain normalcy. What normalcy will ever be for us, I do not know. But I was telling you, I said once it's really behind us, let's say a month behind us, everything's reopened, I'm going to go around my town because we have tons of small businesses, tons of mom and pop, you know, 7 to 2 little diners everywhere. I'm going to go see how many of these people permanently close their doors and start documenting this stuff. Because see, if we don't show America the real faces of the people being damaged, because remember, let's go back to my wag the dog analogy that we only see what they want us to see. You're not seeing the faces of Americans right now that are suffering. You know, the people that are not, you know, let's go back to the people that are independent contractors and they don't get unemployment. And, you know, where's their money coming from? If they were living paycheck to paycheck, where's their money coming from? By the time you wait for your little measly, you know, stimulus check. But, you know, there are businesses that were, I don't want to say thriving, but they were up and running and maybe they were, you know, a month-to-month business. They're not going to reopen their doors. So until we start seeing the real stories of the damage, I just don't think it's going to be real. You know, the people that are stuck in media mode that only watch the news and all, you need to hear these stories of who's not getting the loans, the websites that are crashing that you can't apply for stuff.
I mean, I'm not the making people, it up.
No, the people that are that were like 1099, you know, businesses that don't have any money coming in, the people that are having their surgeries canceled, you know, all across the nation because, you know, they're deemed non-essential. It's,
these folks are.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's bad out there.
You're supposed to apply for the money last Friday, and then it takes 3 weeks to get it from Mnuchin and these guys, right? Guess what? The banks haven't even finished your application yet. It's been a week. It's going to be a week, maybe 2 weeks or 3 weeks before they get through the application. Now, then you get money when? Now you're 2 months in the hole. 2 months in the hole. Not only 2 months in the hole, in the super hole, because you had no income during those 2 months, but you still had all the bills. Now, yeah, there's things in place to stave that off, right? But what if you're in a business where it doesn't come back? I tell you, I got my buddies. They're in the restaurant business, right? They are freaked out because they're running takeout now, right? Which comes down to about 30% of their business. So the only reason they're doing takeout is to keep their people working. They're not making any money on this. They're taking a bath.
Mm-hmm.
But so their take is down 70%. Their daily gross is down 70% on bar and food. Okay. 70%. And they're saying, how do we know people are even going to come back to a restaurant?
That's right.
When this is over, how do we know? Okay, we got 25 tables in here now. Are these fucking bureaucrats going to tell us we can only have 15 tables because they got to be 25 feet away from each other? Right.
Right. No.
How are we supposed to? And, but moreover, it's this the psyche of America. Are they going to go back to? I talked to guys. 76ers, a guy so we know, worked for the Sixers, the NBA, and they're like, this is, how are we going to have 20,000 people come down here?
Mm-hmm.
The Flyers, how are we going to get 20,000 people to buy a ticket to a game? Are you kidding me? What is, and I know that's just sports, right? But you should use that as a microcosm for
anything. No, it's everything. Exactly. They've taken away everything that we do. And now, Like I say to my family, I worry about the people who were not germaphobes. Did we turn them into germaphobes? are we now going to be an over-sanitized society, which is very dangerous to be over-sanitized because, you know, you're going to get sick all the time. You're going to catch every cold that comes
out. Wait till
it
comes out. Wait till people find out why this happened and how it happened. They're going to fucking, if they don't snap after this, then it's lost. They'll never snap. Don't get their ass off the couch after this. They'll never.
Exactly.
And that's kind of the same thing I talked to some of these guys about today. They're like, look, be careful with this stuff because you might be pissing in the wind. You tell people this and be like, oh, that's messed up. Well, it's only worth telling people this kind of shit if they fucking do something and get off their asses about it. You know?
Believe me, I know. Hey, many people showed up in Virginia in January because they were pissed off about the Second Amendment rights. There's a whole lot more here to be pissed off about. That's for sure.
That was something that was going to happen on paper, and it might have affected you. It may not have affected you. This is something that's actually happening.
Thank you.
This is happening. They already took those rights away. That makes that Second Amendment rally look like someone swiped the fucking...
I'm worried about the engineering, the human condition. You know, when you have politicians telling you that in the future, you're not going to want to handshake or hug or kiss, what?
This is all bullshit. This is all... bullshit.
But you're already starting to groom the people that this is not going to be appropriate to do ever.
Yeah, it's all.
Yeah. Come on. I hug everybody.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Maria. These guys in the States, they don't understand what's going on. This is high level stuff, man. I don't think the guys in the States understand what's happening to these governors.
You don't think Cuomo knows?
I don't know about Cuomo, right? Because he's in a different ball game. This guy is like connected. Anybody connected to the Clintons may be in the know on this, because I'm not saying they're involved directly, but it's from their playbook. This is the Clinton Foundation's playbook at play.
Right.
Somebody took it and pimped it out and put it on steroids and said, why would you just run these small schemes when we can run it against the whole world and take things over the way we want to take things over and accelerate these plans. And I mean, it's crazy stuff. And here's the other thing too, right? These things are so crazy that if you tell people, they're going to think you're completely insane, because I don't even
know. Two sides to that coin, because I would say most Americans at this point, or even 2-3 weeks ago, they know something's not right.
That's the thing.
Because so many people are comparing it to H1N1 numbers.
I had a guy tell me today. Go ahead, finish. I keep cutting you off. I'm like,
no, I think we discussed it, you know, the high number of Americans that were infected and died, and this wasn't even a thought. So many people in the pit of their stomach know that there's something more. But like every other American all the time, we're never told the truth anyway. So you're stuck with your gut instinct, and that's it.
Yeah, a guy told me today, called me, I said, I got some stuff to tell you, but I'm only going to tell you if you answer my questions correctly. And I'm like, great. I'm on fucking Jeopardy. Well, where's the Jeopardy thing? You know what I mean?
Where's Monty Hall?
Yeah, this is like, it's like Trebek. And he says, what's your read on this?